Welcome again to Green Livelihood, Right Livelihood, Viviendo Verde, ¿ya? And in this segment of our show, with Evelina Molina and co-host Dan Kerbine, and in this second part or part of our show, we're going to be talking with Melinda Stewart. Welcome, Melinda.
Hola, Evelina. ¿Cómo estás?
Muy bien, gracias. We are going to be talking, I got to tell you, I mean, I'm discovering so many wonderful things. I mean, we've talked about the marketplace, a local, made local marketplace. We're in this amazing share exchange. We have talked about a health, herbal health cooperative. But of all the things, and I'm into green jobs. I'm excited about that, green jobs training. But I got to tell you, this time bank thing has got me, like, I can't even sleep at night. I'm so excited about it. So what I would like, Melinda, for you to tell us is tell us a little bit, our listeners, about this exciting concept of time banking.
Okay, well, time banking was started long time before we've been around alternative currencies of some kind or another. And Edgar Kahn came up with this concept of time banking that I'm currently using. It's an hour-for-hour exchange. For every hour that you spend helping somebody in your community, it gives you an hour for somebody to help you. And so it's kind of like bartering, except for you don't have to find somebody who has something that you need to do something for somebody. So
that's... That's it in a nutshell, but it's much more fun than that.
Yes.
In addition, and for our listeners that are listening to our show, there's a book if you're interested in like really getting into depth on how Edgar Kahn started this. There is a book that I'm reading right now, which is called "No More Throw Away People: The Co-Production Imperative," and I want to suggest that for our listeners if you're really interested in getting into the nuts and bolts and philosophical reasons as to why time banking is such an exciting concept. And personally, for me, I think one of the reasons why I'm sort of attracted to it is because my ancestors are the Mayans from my dad's side, Yucatec Mayan. And the Mayans were the timekeepers. They're the indigenous peoples that their charge was taking time. And the fact that they, you know, had like 17 calendars going and they did the zero thing in 2012, which we're going to have a whole show about that coming up. The concept of time has always been just fascinating to me. And so this is exciting. So, Melinda, tell us, what personally for you attracts What has attracted you to do this work, and how did it get started, and where are you at now?
All right. So it was about a year ago today that someone told me there's not any more new jobs, that if you're going to want to, you know, get a job doing something that is important to you, that you, you're going to have to create it yourself. And so I went to the JC at Santa Rosa Junior College, and I signed up for classes I was interested in. I took geology because I like rocks, and intro to environmental science. Environmental activism has been something that I've been into before I can even remember. I was the Lorax. I spoke for the trees. So in my intro to environmental science class, I was doing my term paper on a locavore lifestyle. And I contacted Go Local and was interested in this like local this local drive in the area. And I met Kelly Rajala, who was doing a presentation at Casey Wade's class at the JC. And so she was talking about this whole concept about where you could have a place where, you know, people shared things and you could develop businesses and have like a meeting place for people in the community to come together and focus on local made stuff and building things in a sustainable lifestyle. And then she mentioned this concept called time banking. And I had never even heard of the word before. I was like, what is this time bank? And she was interested in maybe some student doing some research and development. So immediately I decided to change my paper from just a locavore life, from just a locavore lifestyle to a time bank concept. And I met up with her and she gave me some materials, the book from Edgar Kahn and, you know, the different things that are available, resources through timebanks.org. And I came back a couple weeks later just incredibly inspired by what people can do when they come together as a community, this thought of co-production, you know, and you know, strengthening our communities together. And she's like, well, you've got a good grasp on this, you know, want to run with it? And so long story short, that was February. Since then, I've aligned myself with people in the community who are also interested in it, like you, Evelina, and Transition Kitati is huge. They're part of my board, and Meredith from the Center for Community Engagement at Sonoma State University is my mentor, and a wonderful resource for community organizations and nonprofits to bridge the gap between the faculty and the staff and the students. And a bunch of professors at Sonoma State University involved in alternative currencies and such like that. So currently, my time bank has over 200 people in it. We've switched our timekeeper, an online timekeeper that keeps track of the hours, to this one that's provided by Time and Talents, Hour Exchange in Portland, Maine. They have 600 people in their time bank. And we're just really excited. I've recently been fiscally sponsored by the Leadership Institute for Ecology and Economy, so we're a nonprofit right now. And
well, I'm going to. This is Dan Curbine. I'm the co-host with Evelina Molina for Green Livelihood, Right Livelihood, Viviendo Verde. Now, I'm going to bring up something that an old story I heard when I worked at a software company. And Bill Gates was the legendary. He was the hero to anybody who was in a software company that was dreaming of going public during the big boom. That turned into a bust later, but during the big boom. And the legendary story is that if Bill Gates were walking down the street and saw a $100 bill on the sidewalk, it would not be worth his time to stop and pick it up because he's worth something like $10,000 a minute.
Oh.
And his time is worth so much more than anybody else's that he would have to evaluate whether to pick up the $100 bill or not. And in the end, the math dictates that he would have to ignore it and walk away because his time is worth way more than the time it would take to pick up the $100 bill. And, you know, from that day forward, I found that there was something kind of obscene about that, that one person's time could be worth that much. I mean, it's got two things going on. There's the representative dollar value of a $100 bill in, you know, United States currency, but then there's also the other, which isn't obscene, it's just what we live with. And there's the other piece, which is that somebody is so important that they're way more important than any of us. And that kind of falls away when you start taking part in a time bank.
Yeah.
Everyone's equal. It's time equality.
Yeah, we're bringing it down to, everybody's hour is the same, no matter who you are or what you're doing. And, that concept is really important that we don't forget that.
Yeah, I also want to read out of Edgar Kahn's book just a little paragraph where he describes what happens when we put a price or a value on something. He says, when we look at what price does, we see that it effectively devalues everything that defines us as human beings. Wow. It devalues all those capacities that are not scarce, and yet those capacities, the ones that we all share, are what enable our species to survive. If something is worthless because it has no market value, look at all the universal capacities that we are devaluing. Caring for each other, coming to each other's rescue, rearing infants, protecting the frail and the vulnerable, standing up for what is right, opposing what is wrong, coming together to reach agreement, and acting as guardians of whatever we feel is precious and want to pass on to our children and their children.
I totally agree. Over the past decades, changes in our society have eroded the infrastructures of families, and paid professionals are now doing what used to be family work. And our monetary economy only pays for and rewards specialized skills produced by that produce goods and skills that it needs. And so, like you said, work like raising children and making our communities safe and vibrant and, saving the environment are not recognized and valued as real work. So time banking is not really meant to replace valuable and essential services of paid social service professionals, but create an infrastructure that helps achieve better results. It builds grassroots community-based social networks, which is kind of what we're doing here, is not just co-production, but the social networks. A community of people are stronger than just one, and everybody has something that, they can do in our community and something that they need from the community as well.
We're talking to Melinda Stewart, who's with the Sonoma County Time Bank. She's directing it, which is located at the Go Local Share Exchange, 531 5th Street in Santa Rosa, California. That's about 50 miles north of San Francisco, for those of you who are not in California. My question for you, Melinda, is, okay, how does time banking work? If you've got no familiarity with it, how does it work, and how do people go about using it?
So the time bank works by we've developed a database system that keeps track of things that people need in their life and things that people are willing to do for other people. And so how it works is you sign up on the internet through SonomaCountyTimeBank.org and join this online community. And it's got the ability for you to search different things in there. So you contact somebody through the time bank and you say, okay, Joe is willing to do some gardening work. And you connect with Joe and you set a date, and then Joe comes over, weeds your garden, maybe helps you out with something else at the same time, and spends 3 hours at your house. So now Joe gets 3 hours that he can use for something else. It's logged in through the computer that keeps track of all the hours. And then Joe says, okay, I would like somebody to, go bike riding with me, or I'd like to go to the gym or see a show, or maybe have someone take my mother-in-law grocery shopping. He then can go into the database and say, I need somebody to do this, and use the hours that he did something that he was good at for somebody else to have somebody do something for him.
And in the book, which is probably one of the key pieces of literature by the founder of different time banking systems, Edgar S. Kahn, he lists a few which are very interesting, that you can have somebody else use your time bank hours if you don't want to. So I'm just going to read a couple of really neat examples. One of them is that a teenager living alone with his depressed mother saved up enough time credits so that when he went away to college, she would be able to buy the range of local support that she needed. So that's a pretty good example. We also, one other here that's an elderly woman in rushy green England lived for a year in the dark because her curtains were too heavy for her to draw, before a fellow time bank member came and fitted her with lighter curtains. And the last one, which I think is really appropriate, especially in the community that I'm excited about, having a little time bank kiosk or in on the other side of the 101 freeway in Roseland Time Bank, is an African immigrant new to the community has gained immediate access to help, support, and the talents of strangers who welcomed him in a way that prompts him to remark, "This is like coming home." And with the really anti-immigrant and anti-worker sentiment that's going on in the, you know, just the general political scene, even here in Sonoma County, wouldn't it be nice to create a system where people always come to me and it's like, "Avelina, we want to do something, but it's like such a big problem and we don't know what can we do." Well, sign up for the time bank. And, you know, we can't fix immigration policy from our end because it's dealt with, and but we can make a difference in one person's life. So anything you've seen, Melinda, that you want to share with us?
Well, just what you just said right there is a big part of it. The way that our society is right now, the extended families that we used to have decades ago aren't really here. The fact that you have to migrate somewhere else for work makes it so that you're not as close to the family that you should have and need. And that's the big part about time banking, is to be that extended family, the person that you can call when you need someone to talk to, or, you know, just to help you with minor things around the house that somebody in your family would have done. The main important parts of time banking, there's five things. The first is that everyone has a unique skill or talent that they can offer others, and they also have something that they need as well. We're redefining work, the rearing healthy children and stronger families and a sustainable planet. The question of how can I help you is now changed to how can we help each other build the world that we want to live in. Social networks are stronger than individuals. Communities built on sinking roots, building trust, creating networks, support systems, and a time dollar reward for civic engagement, and countering apathy and reducing alienation. And the final aspect of time banking is respect underlies everything. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, everything that we value, respect people how they are and not how we hope they will be in the future.
Great. And I am really excited about the math behind it, because truthfully that was never my strength. But what I'm excited, I think I can handle this one. The mathematics in time banking is really tough. So everybody get your pencils out. It's a really tough equation. Run, and I'm going to give you about a second to go get a pen or a pencil and a piece of paper. And the mathematical equations that we have to know is that 1 equals 1.
Oh, wait, let me get this. 1 hour equals 1 hour.
1 equals 1.
And 1 person equals 1 person.
1 equals 1. So I'm excited about that, and I think that's a message that most of us, if anybody, can really get that we're all, it's 1 equals 1.
Yeah, we're not trying to replace paid professional services. We're just trying to help each other out here and build community. So I like the 1 is 1 concept. It's amazing.
Great. Now, you have an event coming up, and tell us about, so I want to get involved in the time bank. What are some of the options? There's this really neat space where I could probably go online, but if I want to tap into community, tell us about what's going on here at the Share Exchange, and why would I want to come into the Share Exchange if I wanted to participate in the time bank?
Well, the Share Exchange is, it's really come together to be quite an amazing sustainability complex of sorts. And so not only do we have resources here where you can access the internet and I can help you with signing up onto the Timekeeper itself, but I would like to make it so that it's not just all online. We can have a community board here where people can actually walk up and see, okay, this is some of the things people have to offer, and come in and talk to me and learn more about it and, you know, get the help that they need in their lives.
And we're also going to explore public radio, where people can call in and say, I've got an hour or 2 hours of, you know, graphic work that I can give, and this is what I need. So we're also looking about doing a audio version of the online work.
Oh, that'd be great. I would totally be in a supporting a weekly time bank show.
Oh, that's good. A weekly time bank show. And you also are going to kind of put an interesting social event together to kind of bring people socially. Can you talk about?
Well, there's a couple of events that we're going to do in the immediate future. I'm going to do on Martin Luther King Day a happy hour potluck at the Share Exchange, where I can introduce people to the concept of time banking and the new online timekeeper that we're using. And then maybe relate a little bit of what Martin Luther King's dream of social equality and community, and bring that together as one of the forms of time banking. And then this is just the beginning of what I hope will be maybe a monthly, maybe time bank event where we focus on different aspects of it. And then in February, I'm going to have a speaker, and that's not confirmed yet, so that's to be announced as far as the speaker is concerned. But there's a lot that I'd like to do with time banking as far as a group's concerned, maybe a musical instrument library where kids can borrow instruments and get professionals in the community to teach them how to play music.
Great. That sounds terrific. That sounds very exciting. Yeah. I'm sure that a lot of musicians would come forward for that.
It's engaging. You know, it's like a teacher can teach somebody, but to learn, you have to be engaged in something, and that's pretty much the concept of time banking.
And it looks as though there are, you mentioned Portland, it looks as though there are time banking setups, organizations, there are time banks.
Yeah, Time Bank USA has recorded on theirs in over 22 countries. There's over 300 time banks around the world. And currently in the United States, through Time Bank USA, there's about 60 to 70 time banks locally. Now, there's three different kinds of time bank timekeepers, and so that's just one of them. And I know around here, I believe the East Bay's got one, Napa's got a time bank, and I think Marin's starting theirs up right now, and the Coast is doing something. And so we're a big movement, and I strongly recommend that anybody interested in building community and strengthening your group, check out time banking. You can find it on Wikipedia or online and research it. And if you got a group of people, like just maybe your church or, you know, your fellowship of some kind, and you want to like build a stronger group between yourselves, I strongly recommend finding out more about time banking and doing it. It's super easy and a lot of fun.
And you're listening to the voice of Melinda Stewart. She's the director of the Sonoma County Time Bank. And if you are interested in learning more in-depth information, you can read No More Throwaway People, the co-production imperative by the founder of this concept, Edgar Kahn. Or you can come in here to the Share Exchange, 531 5th Street in Santa Rosa, and visit us. Or visit Melinda, and you want to know more, you want to come check out the space, you want to sign up, it's here, it's a very exciting time.
SonomaCountyTimeBank.org, and we're also on Facebook.
And in summary, what I'd like to do too is, so we're talking of the one-on-one dollar. Can you give me a quick preview of ways that time banking is being used in other areas around juvenile justice?
Well, there is a excellent example of a youth court in Dane County, Wisconsin. Dane County is an extremely well-established time bank, and they've got this program where if a youth was to get into trouble for something, the police officer has the ability to point him to youth court, and youth court is run through the time bank. It's you're judged by a group of your peers and given a sentence, and for the amount of time that you are in that sentence, you participate in the time bank, and you get classes like anger management classes and you write letters of apology and you engage in the community. So it socializes people into a community where people respect each other. And after a successful run of that, their record is wiped clean, which is something that is just incredibly awesome.
And from my perspective of working with at-risk youth, the chance of that one first mistake that you make, if there's a way that you could get that, just that, obviously it's not like a major big charge. It might just be something small, a misdemeanor or an infraction, but knowing that you can get a second chance is really important, because sometimes it's just a poor choice. You know, I made a dumb decision or I was influenced, but I don't want this again. I know how important, definitely much more inexpensive than the how costly and hundreds and thousands of dollars in the juvenile court system. So for those of you that are listening, we're really excited about potentially, right, as we move forward in this concept of getting something similar to that. Mm-hmm. So if you're listening and you're into this kind of, I guess that's a form of restorative justice, could you say a little bit? It's a version of it?
Yeah,
a little bit?
Definitely.
Okay. If you're interested in that, please contact us, join us, visit us, because we think that's another very, very big area that Time Bank can be used. But I think we kind of need a team or a committee that would be their focus.
And if anybody is interested in helping out in any way, as far as you're interested in running or helping with coordinate time banking, and please come see me, because I could use all the help I can get.
Okay, and one question specifically for you, Evelina. Who are you suggesting to contact regarding the juvenile justice aspect that you just mentioned?
I would say contact Melinda regarding that, and as we get further along, we're going to set up probably a committee that would focus to try and get that juvenile justice as a part of the time bank. Also, Melinda said in the beginning, they are a fiscally sponsored project by the Leadership Institute for Ecology and Economy. So if you don't have time to put into the time bank and you want to help out because you believe in this vision, you can make a donation, and it would be a tax-deductible donation because they are fiscally sponsored. So you can help out in that way, too.
Yep, and there's links for that on the website as well if you can't come down here. And I look forward to meeting all of you.
So in conclusion for this show, you're listening to Green Livelihood, Right Livelihood, and this is Evelina Molina, Dan Kerbine also, and we were talking to Melinda Stewart. I don't know about you, Dan, but oh my God, I'm just so excited about all the things that we're doing. I'm excited about this program, and we're hoping that our listeners will, I'm hoping that this feeling that I'm having can go through the airwaves. And so that if you're down and out and just kind of feeling blue or feeling like, hey, I've been unemployed for forever, I don't know, it feels like there's no hope, or you're just not making ends meet, we hope this show will inspire you to join and be a part of this really exciting new economy.
Yes, and it excites me as just a great way to begin to put together resources that weren't there before for what Melinda was saying about church groups, about environmental cleanup committees in neighborhoods, who maybe you don't have a couple of hours to get all the envelopes and mailings together, but somebody can do that and then they can get their yard cleaned or something. It's just an amazing way of setting things up. It's a real democracy, and it's an economic democracy of the first order to me.
Yeah, building positive relationships in our communities, it's going to do amazing things for us.
Well, thank you very much, Melinda, for, you know, following your heart and putting it to action and doing it. We're excited about it. And for our listeners, thank you for tuning in to Green Livelihood, Right Livelihood. And we are looking forward to all the other wonderful things that we will be sharing with you today. Thanks a lot, Melinda.
Thank you, guys.